here we are back for episode 17. And for the open today, we're sort of going to piggyback on where we started in episode 16.
Yep.
And if you remember in that opening, we talked about how that you would find yourself, right?
Okay.
In a moment.
Yeah.
Where you're sitting across from someone.
Mm-hmm.
And everything just sort of pivots at once to a moment where you can have a conversation about Christ.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And it's there. I mean, it's just
plain as day.
Plain as day.
Wide open.
You know, you can step in it.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you freeze.
Yeah.
You just stop. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know the right thing to say. But all of a sudden, just the fear of the moment kicks in. And you're afraid that what you say will sound dumb.
Oh, right.
Or
laughed out of the room.
Right. Or you're afraid that you're going to make the person you're talking to uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Or you're afraid that you're going to lose respect or even their approval in that moment. And so instead of doing what you know God wants you to do, you just end up saying nothing at all.
Yeah.
And that's the struggle that we're talking about today. That's the thing that's underneath that fear, there lies this lie that we often believe that somehow, some way, it's our job to convince people, to convert them, to sort of win them over. It kind of comes along with the whole term soul winning.
Yeah.
And if you remember in the last podcast, I think it was the last podcast, I talked about how I really didn't like that term anymore.
Right.
I understand the reason behind the term. But when you say soul winning, it's almost like it puts the responsibility on me to have to win that person.
You might be soul losing.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's a soul winning, there's a soul losing.
And that's the fear, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to lose this person. I'm winning.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's a pressure that we put on ourselves that was never meant to be honest.
Yeah. And I think really what really comes down to all of this is we can't control the outcome.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. And since we can't control it, then we just don't do anything. We just stay quiet. And behind the message that I preached this past Sunday was really, what if the reason you feel so stuck in this is that you've been trying to take on the Holy Spirit's job?
Yeah.
Right. And if you were freed from that pressure, which, by the way, the whole message is you are.
Yeah.
And you don't realize it.
In case you missed it.
Yeah, go watch it.
Go watch it. That's good.
How that would change then the way you view your testimony, your witness to other people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that absolutely does.
You know, that's really what we're going to dive into today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of answer that question. So you wouldn't listen to the message. Mm-hmm. What's the one thing as you were listening to it that just jumped out to you that, you know, stuck with you?
Well, we have talked about this a lot, right? We've been kind of on this topic of soul winning, right?
Yeah.
Or witnessing to people, taking advantage of those moments that God gives us, that He puts in our lap. And we've also just been on this topic of the Holy Spirit and His job in our lives. What is His purpose? What is He doing? And I think if we've been paying attention, then you have found out that we all too often are trying to step over Him, and we're trying to do His job,
right?
We've talked a good bit. It's just come up a lot.
It's kind of like in this podcast when I keep stepping in on your conversation.
You can probably say it better anyway.
We give you great illustrations right here in the podcast. But you're right. Here I am stepping in on you.
No. Yeah. Oh, but we do it though. We've talked a good bit here lately about the fruit of the Spirit and how I've absolutely said it myself and heard other people say, oh, I need to be more kind, or I need to be more patient, or I need to be more faithful.
And we're
trying to take over the Holy Spirit's job
and
do what He's supposed to do. Our responsibility, when you boil it way down, is not complicated.
No,
it's not complicated at all. You be obedient.
And sometimes people think I oversimplify that, right? Because I'm just always saying,
right,
obey. Mm-hmm. But every time I am preparing a message,
mm-hmm,
every time I'm studying the Word of God, especially as I've been going through John, it always comes back to just that one thing.
Right.
Your simple response, just obey.
It's so simple that it's complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's no way that I, as an ambassador of Christ, as a child of God, as his servant, that it's just that simple. But it is. And when we try to overcomplicate it, we start stepping into the Holy Spirit's job, which is why it never goes well, because we can't do it.
Yeah.
But if you live a life of obedience, then the Holy Spirit is going to produce patience. The Holy Spirit is going to produce faith. The Holy Spirit is going to produce generosity, goodness in you.
Yeah.
And what I got from the message was just that recurring theme that we keep talking about, but just very specifically, we need to stop trying to do the Spirit's job.
Mm-hmm.
It is his job.
Yeah.
And until you stop trying to do it, you are not going to find success. It's just not going to go well.
I think, you know, this particular chapter that we're going through right now, along with John 15, is something that just really points to that, right?
Yeah,
just really drives that home,
right?
And it exposes our desire, and I think it's a sinful desire,
right,
to want to control everything, right? And it's amazing how many times I have to do this, I have to do that.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, going back to the fruit of the Spirit, right? You know, I have to be patient, okay? Instead of letting the Holy Spirit bring patience into my life.
Yeah.
For example, I go back to John 15, and it opens up with, I am the vine, you're the branches.
Right.
And we're to abide in him.
Yeah.
And without him, we can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the very essence of the Christian life is just abiding in him.
Yeah.
Abiding doesn't mean I'm doing anything.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's why, if you remember in the message, when I preached that particular message, I went over and sat down in the chair.
Right.
And I said, this is what abiding is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's just, I am here.
but we can't, we just can't stand that.
Right.
You know, I talk to people all the time, and they tell me, you know, Pastor, I just can't sit still. I've got to be doing something. Yeah. I got to be going here. I got to be fixing this. I got to be working on that. And we bring that into our Christian life.
Right.
And we think, man, I've got to be doing everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yet Christ is saying to us, and he says it in John chapter 16. And in the message, I told you before we started this, we're going to mix mash messages.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the same message coming forth this Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, just let me.
Yeah. Just hand it over.
Just give me.
And another thing about taking on everything at once, because this happens in our just kind of our normal lives, or our regular lives, our kind of more fleshy lives.
Yeah.
When you try to do everything, you end up doing nothing.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing in your spiritual life. If you try to do everything, you're going to end up so overwhelmed that you're just going to drop all of it.
Right. Taking it to the witnessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you're exactly right. I remember being in Bible college, and we went through a whole semester of evangelism.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very detailed.
Yes.
You know, you learn these verses, you present it this way. And we've done it even in churches. We've come out with these, you know, big, expansive soul-winning programs. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with those, okay? So don't get me wrong. The problem is we get so much information, we pour it into people, and we say, okay, you go do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the simplicity of it is, you don't need to do all that.
Right. Yeah, no, you don't.
Now, you can do that if you're called to do that, and if that's the gift that God has for you to go do that. But what we do is we bypass the simplicity of a person just sharing their testimony.
Exactly. No, 100%. And you're touching on something that sometimes we don't want to accept. If God has called someone to be an evangelist, they have that gift.
Yeah, exactly.
Then God is going to put in their path
right
people that are a little bit tougher to win.
Yeah.
because he has specifically gifted them and probably given them the opportunity to learn under someone, right, in order to win those people.
You know, the example, the very modern day example that I've been using a couple of times is Charlie Kirk, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, Charlie had this ability to go into college campuses and universities, and he was sensational about it. I mean, look at his life, look at his testimony. But he had a gift in that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Right? Not everybody can do
that. And not everybody can do that.
No.
Now, everybody has the ability and the calling to share their testimony with other people.
Absolutely.
And a testimony is very simple. I've shared it many times.
Yeah.
You just tell people what you were like before you met Christ.
Yeah.
How you met Christ and what your life was like after Christ.
Yeah.
If you want a clear example of that, use the Apostle Paul. This is what it was like before Damascus.
Right.
Here's the road to Damascus. This is what happened. This is how it, in fact, his testimony to King Agrippa, remember that?
Yeah.
Was that very thing.
Yeah.
This is who I was. This is what happened. This is how I am now. And how Christ made the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the simplicity
of
a testimony of giving the gospel.
And you voiced it in a way, because I've heard people say that line before. You know, if you can give your testimony, then you can witness to somebody. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that before. And I have, you know, also been able to go to college. We took a semester.
Yeah.
You know, we did evangelism discipleship, so ours was a little bit more split. And I can't, you know, but I've heard that same before, but I heard it differently this past Sunday. I heard it differently. Because sometimes we will say, you use the sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
The person that's sowing the seed.
Right.
And we say, oh, well, all you got to do is just sow seed. And well, that's great. I'm not a farmer. I don't know. It looks like, I've never sowed seed. And if I tried to grow anything, it would probably die.
Right.
But it was that you just sow seed, and then you immediately pair it up with, you just share your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are sharing your testimony, that is where your responsibility ends.
Yeah.
That's where it starts and ends for you. You're done.
And sharing your testimony can be twofold.
Mm-hmm.
It can be word of mouth, like I just said, telling people your testimony. But also could just be living out your testimony.
Living, absolutely.
And I, you know, I'm not one of those that's a big fan on, what they call it, something evangelism, I forget, where you just live your life and you never speak anything.
Right.
Okay.
too far to one extreme.
Yeah, there's a balance here, right? Yeah. You're called to do both. You're called to live it, you're to speak it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that's the extent of it, really, right? I mean, that's just live it, speak it.
That is our job, and now, then God takes over.
Now, we don't all overstate the simplicity of that.
Right.
Right? Because living it is a full-time, 24/7 job that is labor-intensive, right?
That's why I hear, we talked just a minute ago, you talked about how simple it is. It's just obeying. Yeah. And then there are people that are like, oh, but I just can't stop. Man, I can barely keep up with the obeying part. That keeps me plenty busy. That's what I can handle.
That's why, you know, when you're studying scripture, it's just... It amazes you, right?
It does.
And Christ, he has a wonderful way of taking the simplicity, and then you get into it and you're like, this isn't simple at all.
Right.
Like, you know, you take, for example, what is it? I'm trying to remember. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get the beam out of your own eye before you try to take the world out of your brother's eye, right?
Yeah.
Well, you stop and think about it. He uses the illustration of a beam.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why the beam in an eye? Because if you just focus on your beam, which by the way is huge, you don't have time to go around judging other people. Yeah. You don't have time to go around trying to remove the mote from anybody else's eye.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're simply concentrating on your relationship and your life. And that, so there's a simplicity, a beam in your eye. But the complexity is, man, that's going to take a lifetime of just working on myself.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And this isn't to say that everything is easy. Just because something is simple does not mean that it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that have devoted their life to studying scripture, to living for the Lord, and they are great men and women of the faith. And if you ask them right now, they would say, I know nothing.
Right.
And right. I fail every day.
Yeah.
Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. There is effort that needs to be put in. There's work to do. And it isn't always easy, but it is usually simple.
Yeah.
It is usually simple. Should I lie or not? Well, the simple answer is, of course not. But if I don't lie, then my family could fall apart. I could hurt this person. Right. Is it simple? Yes. Is it easy? No. Yeah. It's hard, but it is simple.
And that leads me into mine, because, you know, as I was studying for that message, The very first illustration that came to my mind, of course, was the parable of the sower.
Right.
And I've read that parable many, many times. I've even preached it a few times. But I've missed something every time until this time.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I missed, and again, it's like you said, the longer you're in the Word of God, you get to study a passage many, many times. But you come back and you see something different, right? And so this time, as I was thinking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's the one that converts the soul. He's the one that convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment, which was the part of the message on Sunday. I realized that in that parable of the sower, never once did Christ say that the sower, the farmer, was to go till the ground.
Right. Yeah.
To work the ground.
Mm-hmm.
To pull the weeds, to get rid of the thorns, to make sure it was good soil. Never once.
Mm-hmm.
All he said was that the sower went out and just began sowing seed. And as he sowed the seed, it fell on certain ground, right?
Yeah.
It fell on the hard ground. It fell on the thorny ground. It fell on that particular soil. And then it fell on good soil.
Yeah.
Right? And then because of, you know, the dynamics of sowing, right? We know that, you know, the water came and it rained and, you know, the sun shined on it. Where all those things come from? They don't come from the farmer.
Right.
They come from God.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so it just dawned on me that sometimes we preach that parable and we make it seem as if we've got to go out and do all this stuff, right? Get all.
We got to become the sun. We got to become the rain.
Exactly. You know, we got to work the ground. We got to And that's never in that parable.
Yeah.
The only thing that was asked of the farmer, sow the seed.
Yeah. Right.
And again, the simplicity of that. Mm-hmm. Now, is that easy?
Not always.
No. You know, it takes a lot of walking around to sow seed.
Yeah.
It takes covering different types of ground to sow seed.
And you might not be the sun, but you're out in the sun.
When you run out of seed, you got to go get more seed, right?
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of labor involved just in sowing the seed. But we take it beyond just sowing the seed.
Right. For sure.
We take it to the point, I've got to work that person's heart.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to till the ground, so to speak. I've got to make sure that they're ready. I got to wait till the right moment. I got to do this. Yeah. And next thing you know, we've overstepped our boundaries.
Yeah.
And now we're trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life when we're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. And the mentality of that is if I'm the one having to convert the soul,
right,
I can't do it.
Yeah.
And since I can't do it,
I won't.
I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it at all.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's where we freeze up.
No, 100%.
Now, if I understand, all I have to do is just share my testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be through lifestyle or word or both. Okay. That's my responsibility. That's it. Do it as often, as frequent as I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Let God do the rest.
And another thing is there's discouragement in sowing the seed.
Yes.
That's part of the work. Sometimes you sow the seed and it was on bad.
It was on hard ground. It was on thorny ground. And, you know, the one about the thorny ground is you actually see something happening, right? We're seeing visible results. It comes up, and then all of a sudden, we turn our head, we look back, and the thorns have choked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
And what does he not do? He doesn't go try to pick all the thorns.
Yeah.
try to fix the ground
and
make the ground workable. Yeah. No, he just keeps sowing the seed until it lands on some good ground.
Right.
And something comes of it.
Yeah.
So, no, that's really good.
All right.
It is really good.
Yeah. It's an amazing.
There's always more.
John chapter 16. I've never gotten into John chapter 16 like I have this time.
Yeah.
And I just, it's all coming together for me in a whole different way.
Yeah.
And in fact, this Sunday's message is going to be, I think, a really great message for everyone. I hope they'll come and listen to it, because there's a part of this where Christ didn't back off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just simply said, go work.
Yeah.
You know, be the sower. Go sow the seed. But he also said, when you go sow the seed, there's going to be sorrow.
Yeah.
There's going to be lamentations. He uses the word lament.
Yeah.
In the thing. And it's not always easy. Life is not easy. In fact, going back to that parable of sowing the seed.
Yeah.
Now I'm making some assumptions here. Okay, so everybody don't freak out. But the, you know, he never talks about weather conditions.
Right.
Right. Yeah. There's no, okay, is it raining? Is it, none of that is said in the parable.
Right.
So the assumption on my part is that we're to sow the seed no matter the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Which means if you're out in the middle of a storm sowing seed, it's not fun out there.
No, it's not comfortable.
Right?
It's not a great experience.
You know, you could be up in the middle of the night sowing seed,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. But still, you're to sow the seed, let God do the rest.
Yeah.
And even though it may not be comfortable, there is a promise that comes with that,
yeah.
which is this coming Sunday. I'll not get into that.
Right. You gotta be yourself.
We'll get after Sunday and before Sunday. All right. So we didn't get any questions from anyone in the congregation. However, maybe you had some questions that you felt were unanswered by the message.
I think even though no one asked this for this Sunday, I have heard this question before.
Yeah.
I have heard people ask this before. And it's like, how do I know when I've actually done like enough?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What is
I've had people ask this.
Right. Yeah. What is faithful persistence? And what is just trying to force what God is not doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because you can take it too far.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree with that.
And I have heard people ask this question before, and I think something we have to acknowledge, because the message answers this question, mm-hmm. in my opinion, or at least it partially answers this question, because faithful persistence has nothing to do with the result.
No, it doesn't.
I think if you were looking at it, to go back to the parable and use it there, if you are sowing seed
mm-hmm.
and it falls on just hard ground.
Right.
And you, instead of continuing to sow seed elsewhere, you sit there and work on this ground that is just never going to
function. You can saturate it with as much seed as you want.
You can use all of the chemicals you want. You can use all the machinery you want.
Yeah.
It's bad ground. It doesn't have the nutrients. It doesn't have what it needs to sustain life. And it's going to fail. And if you are fighting that bad ground,
mm-hmm.
that is where you're trying to force something that God is just not working in.
Yeah.
Because faithful persistence has nothing to do with the results. If you talk to someone and they give you a response like, you know, maybe one day I'll have this conversation, and you walk away, and then you see them again, and you just ask, hey,
right.
is today the day?
Yeah.
Do you want to have that conversation? Mm-hmm. That's and they say no. It's like, okay, well, if you ever do. And then the next time you see them, you ask the same question. That's, to me, that is faithful persistence.
I think, though, there is a point, and I think this is illustrated by what Christ did with the disciples.
Right.
And you remember when he commissioned them two by two, right? And he mm-hmm. sent them out into the villages.
Right.
He specifically told them that they go into a village
mm-hmm.
and they're not received.
Yeah.
You know, to brush the dirt, the dust off their feet and continue on.
Yeah, move on.
Right. And so I think sometimes there comes a point, you just got to move on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't say that we're writing that person off, because that's right. what people will say. Well, aren't you just writing that person off? No, they're just not willing to listen.
Yeah.
The ground is hard. The
seed there.
Yeah.
I don't need to keep sowing seed there. It's not working. Right. The seed is there.
Yeah.
If that ground ever changes.
Then come back.
Which is what God does, it's, not me.
Exactly. That's in his, yeah.
Then something's going to start happening.
Yeah.
And I think the difference between that trying to force it
mm-hmm.
is when you're trying to change that ground yourself.
Yeah.
If someone has utterly rejected it
mm-hmm.
and they have no interest and they're not going to hear it, and you are hunting that person, you are hounding that person, and you are, so to speak, trying to shove it down their throat.
Yeah.
Then you have gone past faithful persistence, and you have just taken matters into your own hands.
If you go that far, then most likely you're hindering the gospel at that point, then you are helping the gospel.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And if you want to really help the Holy Spirit, then just sow the seed, move on.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And when I think sowing seed, I think he's got some kind of container in one hand, and and he's just spreading around.
Right.
I don't see him going around and, you know, doing a bunch of work, digging things up, and doing all this hassle. When I hear it just says sow seed, I just see somebody out there tossing out seed. That's what I see.
Yeah.
I don't see some kind of fight and battle afterward to force it to work.
Right.
He's just sowing seed. And to me, it doesn't seem like he's wasting no time. Yeah. Sow seed here. Now let's sow seed here. Now let's sow seed here. Just like with the disciples. Mm-hmm. If they're rejecting you, don't sit there and fight it.
I think it kind of goes back to the whole title of the series.
Right.
Right. The whole series title for John chapter 16 has been Unseen Victory, witnessing by faith, not sight.
Right.
If I'm trying to force the gospel, so to speak, and I'm doing the work of the Holy Spirit, then really what I'm trying to do is get something visible in front of me that I can see and say, oh, look what happened. Look what I did.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is definitely walking by sight, not by faith.
Right.
It's a lot more spiritual,
right?
To just say, I've shared my testimony.
Yeah.
I'm moving on.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Let God do the rest.
I think it to put this tangibly, now please understand, this is not scripture, but I'm trying to just give a example that just clicks for our human brains.
Right.
I think, based on looking at this, what his commanded disciples, like you already pointed out, I think if you, in a week, have talked to and debated with one person and saw nothing, versus you have shared your testimony
with
10 to 20 people.
Or, yeah, more.
Because it's a lot easier to just share my testimony and then go to the next one, share my testimony, go to the next one, or just sit there and argue with somebody every day for a week.
Yeah.
The person, I think, who has just gone to 20 different people and all they did was share their testimony and just sow that seed and then go to the next person.
And that's so real, because I've had people come to me and they'll say, Pastor, you know, I'm concerned about a family member, right?
Right.
And I've witnessed to this family member. I've witnessed to this family member. I've witnessed to this family.
Yeah.
And I've tried my best to get them to come to Christ, and they just won't see it. And they're like obsessed.
Yes.
Yeah. With this one person.
Yes.
Right. Now, I get it. I get that this is a person that they love and they care for. You know, I'm not minimizing that in any way. But there just comes a point when you need to just let go and let God do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And in the time that you've been obsessing with this person,
this one person,
how many other people could you have already shared your testimony with?
Exactly.
Right. And I think there is our problem.
Yeah.
I really think that's the fundamental problem of witnessing and evangelism these days.
Mm-hmm.
We think we need to get into debates with everybody.
Right. We're going to tear down one by
one
the arguments of every single person, and we're not going to move on till we've convinced that person. And I don't see that as the pattern.
And I don't want to minimize apologetics. Okay?
No.
So apologetics is fundamentally important.
Absolutely.
But there are people who are gifted in apologetics.
Absolutely.
And it's not that... You know, again, we're talking on a very basic level of just the average believer and Christian. We're not even bringing in spiritual gifts and, you know, what God calls people to do and all those things. Yeah. We're just saying, fundamentally, as a believer, my sole responsibility is to go out and sow the seed and share the gospel with people. And that comes through my testimony, how I live, how I talk, how I speak. And just on that very basic level, I'm going around, I'm sowing the seed as much as possible, and I'm just letting God do the rest.
Take care of the rest.
Now, if you are growing spiritually, right, and God has put a call on your life to go into ministry specifically, then obviously apologetics becomes a bigger thing for you, right? And that's something that definitely God will lead you into and God will direct you.
Right.
But that's a, you know, that's sort of a special gift, a special calling that God gives to certain people. It doesn't mean that every single believer out there,
right?
You know, the guy who's a mechanic, just working in a mechanic shop, he doesn't have to get into apologetics to be able to share the gospel with someone.
Right.
He just has to live a life that shows Christ.
Yeah.
And then when questions come up or, you know, people say, you know, I saw you hit your finger the other day and you didn't curse and do all these things. Right. You know, what made the difference?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think we also, apologetics matters. And every Christian should be ready to give an answer for what they believe. Yes, of course, the Bible tells us to do that. But when you're sharing the gospel, I think we assume apologetics is going to come into the equation.
Right.
And honestly, in my experience, that's very rare.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe other people have different experience. I'm just talking of my experience.
And to be honest with you,
it usually doesn't come up.
To be honest, and if we're honest with ourselves, very few people do it well.
Yeah, right. Well,
there's a lot of people who think they're really good at it and they're not.
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk was really good at it.
Yes, he was.
Right. Yeah. And he, you know, you look at him and you say, God definitely gifted him.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people out there who are trying to do it.
And it's not going well.
They need to just go sit down.
Right.
But and probably me would be at the top of the list. So, all right, let's move this on because we could carry this on all day.
Yeah. What did you come up with?
So the only unanswered question I could really come up with is, you know, the person who says, well, my life isn't perfect. Right. Okay. You know, they kind of take that as, you know, I'm just barely making it as a Christian myself. And, you know, I feel like that I'm still dealing with all my failures. Am I a person that can still be a witness?
Right.
Because the idea is if, you know, people are going to look at me and call me a hypocrite.
Right.
Right. You're trying to tell me how to live as a Christian and you can't do it yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's a real fear that people deal with.
It's a real struggle.
Because we all have things that we're struggling with. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there's a person out there that isn't struggling with something. And, you know, I guess the biggest thing that I could say to people that way is this. Imperfection doesn't disqualify anyone.
Oh, good grief, no.
Right? I mean, because we're all imperfect people.
Yeah.
In fact, I think if you'll be honest and real while witnessing, you know, just tell people, hey, I'm not perfect, you know, but my life has changed dramatically since I met Christ.
Yeah.
And even though I am not perfect, he is perfect and he is doing a perfect work within me.
Yeah.
And so I think that actually could be a more credible way of witnessing.
Yeah.
Than if you're trying to pretend like you have it all figured out. That's why I was saying there are certain people who think they have apologetics all figured out.
Right.
They just need to sit down.
All right.
Right. Because everybody knows they're up there just pretending like they have.
That's right.
And the world knows pretenders.
No. Yeah.
I mean, if there's anything that the world knows is they know pretenders.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be a lot more credible. It'd be a lot more relatable to people if you just be real with them, right? And just say, hey, listen, I know I'm not perfect, but I am who I am today because of Christ and what he's done for me.
Yeah.
And he can do the same for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're one of those people that feels held back, especially by that word, because I hear that come up a lot. It's like, well, I'm a hypocrite.
Right, exactly.
Right? Like, I've done all this. This is my past, and I want to be this. And I tell you, if you start with somebody and they ever accuse you of being a hypocrite, you look them dead in the eye and you say, you're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Because we all are.
We all are.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all, every single one of us. Mm-hmm. I say I'm a Christian, yet I fail every single day. Yeah. I am a hypocrite. Someone says I'm a liar. Yeah, you're right. I am a liar. I am.
You know,
yeah. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But see, that doesn't discredit God. That actually builds up God, because he has taken a hypocrite, a sinner, an imperfect person, and he has changed my life. And his forgiveness is actually so perfect that even someone like me, in all my failure, in all my imperfections, in the small, tiny person that I am, can take me, forgive me, elevate me, and use me for the greatest purpose that has ever existed. And he has prepared a place for me with him in heaven. And yes, I am a hypocrite. That doesn't discredit
somebody God. Not too long ago. I don't remember who it was.
Yeah.
So if it was you and I'm calling you out on this, I'm sorry. But somebody was criticizing the phrase, I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Okay.
And they were criticizing it because they were saying that I'm not a sinner, I'm a saint.
Well, it wasn't me.
Okay. And I understand what they were trying to say.
Yeah.
But the only reason I'm a saint is because of Christ.
Yeah, he put me there.
Right. So it always comes back to his grace. Mm-hmm. It always comes back to what he did for me. And yes, I am still a sinner. Mm-hmm. I still have a sinful flesh.
Yeah.
If I didn't, 1 John 1:9 would not be in the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is there to remind me that, yes, I'm going to sin. And when I sin, I need to confess it, right? I need to get it right with him. Paul even said himself, I struggle. He says, the things that I know I shouldn't do, I do. And the things that I know I should do, I don't do. And I mean, he just goes through this whole thing. And and if you're one of those who says that you don't have sin, go read Romans again.
Face. You know, you have missed the boat.
I am a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah.
And it's all to the grace of God. And if it weren't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be doing anything that I'm doing right now.
I don't think you got to bring this into like real world, because you just got to answer this question in your head. If our God is a God of only perfect people, that is not attractive.
No,
that's not attractive to anyone.
No,
because everyone deep down knows that they're not perfect. Right. They understand that they make mistakes. So if we present God, it is a detriment that we present God that he only likes perfect people. He'll only use perfect people. He only works with perfect people. And anyone that isn't perfect is useless and they're just not of God. That's just not true.
No,
it is far more attractive to people that there is a God of imperfect people,
amen,
that loves imperfect people, that uses and works with and forgives and is gracious toward and is merciful toward imperfect people.
Yeah.
Because if we present God as a God of perfect people, well, we've alienated everyone. He's a God of no one because no one's perfect, but he's a God of imperfect people. We have to understand that is far more attractive. And the reason people get so up in arms about this idea of calling people out, well, you're a hypocrite, you're not really a Christian, is Satan.
Yeah.
Satan has put that lie in their brain. Because if God is only a God of perfect people, then they don't qualify.
Yeah.
They don't fit in. God won't take them because they're not perfect because of X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. That's a lie of Satan. Our God is a God of imperfect people.
Yeah.
So if you are concerned,
I mean, the whole Old Testament is a track record of God using imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will.
You look at David, a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Go reread the life of David.
Well, I think, I mean, you could go even deeper than that. Samson.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I read Samson's life, I'm like, Where was there any inkling of ever wanting to do anything for God?
And he's still in the Hall of Faith.
Guy was so self-centered, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But yet God used him, right?
He has his place in Hebrews 11.
You know, Abraham, Moses. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just go down through mm-hmm. the whole.
Samson's right there.
Yeah. And it's, you know, don't let what you know about yourself stop you from being the person that God wants you to be. I think that's what it comes down to.
Because Satan will try to get you to
do that. Exactly. Because he is he is one of those who is lurking. He's a roaring lion. You know, he's waiting to, you know, he wants to devour everything about us, and he wants to devour our testimony. Mm-hmm. And so many times we talk ourselves out of sharing the gospel with someone simply because we look at our own life and say, well, I'm not perfect. So what right do I have to say anything? Well, you have every right to say everything because you're a sinner saved by grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the God has, you know, Christ specifically has called us to be a witness for him. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to be a witness. And he wants, in fact, he has promised that every time we open our mouth, his spirit is there with us.
Yeah.
And indwelling us. I reminded someone today of this very thing. Remind everyone now, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, right? And that verse is there to remind us that we have this awesome, wonderful being, the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. who is all powerful, who is God. And the only thing that's holding him back from working through us is us.
Yeah, absolutely. Understand the voice in your head that is telling you, you are not worthy to share the gospel because of this and this sin.
Yeah.
That voice is not coming from the person
who
shed his blood in order to perfectly forgive the sins that you've confessed to him.
That is the same voice that said to Eve, God's holding something back from you.
Exactly.
That fruit that's hanging there, you know, God doesn't want you to eat it because he knows you'll become like him.
Mm-hmm. The person bringing up confessed sin, I'm not unconfessed sin, that probably is the Holy Spirit talking to you. All right? That probably is the Holy Spirit.
If you're feeling guilty because you didn't open your mouth for the Lord, then that's probably the Holy Spirit. So,
but the voice in your head that's bringing up confessed, forgiven sin is not God.
Yeah.
That's not God.
Yeah.
That's the bad guy.
Well, this is good. We're not 45 minutes yet, so we probably should cut it off.
We've done pretty good. We've done all right.
This coming Sunday, we're continuing the Unseen Victory series, and I'm really excited about this message. It just builds on the one that we had this past Sunday. Again, teaching the disciples. The interesting thing about this passage, just to give you a little taste of it, is they were so focused on a little while. Christ said, a little while I'm going to be with you, and then I'm going to go away, and then I'm going to come again. And all they can think of is, a little while? What does a little while mean? What is a little while? I don't understand what a little while is. And that is so us. And we just get so wrapped up in some of the, you know, minutia of everything that we just... But he uses that to say, listen, yes, there's going to be sorrow.
Yeah.
You're going to lament. But what's going to come out of the sorrow... is going to be such great joy.
Yeah.
Right. And then he uses a woman in childbirth. Mm-hmm. Now, you may be able to use that illustration more than me this coming Sunday. If you don't know, Haley, his wife, is expecting Hazel, their daughter.
That's right.
And probably before Sunday.
That's right.
But, you know, the whole thing is that we, you know, a woman goes through the pain of childbirth.
Yeah.
But when it's all said and done, is she thinking about the pain? No, she's thinking about that beautiful, precious person that she's holding in her arms.
Yeah.
And so that is going to be what we're going to talk about on Sunday. John chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. Again, just challenging us to walk by faith and not by sight. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. We'll wrap up with a little prayer focus for this week. And really just sticking with what we've talked about and what we've been talking about, honestly, most of these past several Sundays, it's just freedom from the burden of doing the Holy Spirit's job.
Amen.
It is not your job to convince. It is not your job to make bad ground good ground. You can't do it. That's not our job.
That's right.
We have to have confidence, have faith in the invisible. That's why it requires faith in the invisible work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he is working. Yeah. He is active. You have not been tossed off to the side to fend for yourself. The Holy Spirit is there with you every step of the way, empowering, enabling, doing the real heavy lifting.
That's right.
He's there. Amen. It is our job to just scatter the seed.
Amen.
That's our job this week.
Amen.
So let's make that our job.
So as we close out this episode, and we're going to close in a word, quick word of prayer, but again, the challenge is go out there, sow the seed.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you for this episode. Thank you for the time that we spent talking about the challenge that you've given us to be a witness for you. And Lord, help us to just be bold in that, to be courageous, have the freedom of knowing that we're just to sow the seed, the testimony of what you have done in our lives. And Lord, knowing that you will do the rest and let you do the rest. Help us, Lord, to be obedient and faithful in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That's After Sunday. See you next week.